This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking back at OU, looking ahead at Iowa State, and in all honesty, maybe looking ahead of Iowa State at OSU. Landry Locker here. Subscribe to the podcast on Odyssey. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Locker Room. Hear me Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 610. What a beatdown. I didn't see that coming. I did say that this was a must-win for Sark. I did say that Sark had to win that one. He couldn't lose to Dopey Venables, who I'll get into in a sec. But I didn't see that coming. I don't think anyone saw that coming. Oklahoma is an absolute disaster. As nice as it is to look at this Texas team, and as good as Quinn Ewers is, and I think if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, we're looking at the very least at a one-loss team, maybe an undefeated team, maybe a team that's ranked number two in the country. As good as that was, Saturday was just as much about the other sidelines as it was Texas. Brent Venables is a disaster. It was an insecure hire. They're trying to duplicate Bob Stoops, who, by the way, stepped down for a reason for Lincoln Riley. And they've hired an absolute dope, a walking bit. Showed up to the press conference late because he wanted to put his suit on. Screaming and yelling on the sidelines. Doesn't even know what quarterback to pick. You know, if you're listening to this, most likely just how strategic and well Lincoln Riley played the quarterback position the last couple of Red River shootouts. Benching Rattler in 2020, then putting him back in to get the win. Benching Rattler again last year to put in Caleb Williams. First time he saw significant time and getting the win. Coach Riley did a lot of good things. For whatever reason, Oklahoma's convinced itself that Lincoln Riley is not a good football coach. And they wanted to do the opposite. They wanted to go back to Bob Stoops. Even though Bob Stoops passed the torch for a reason, they wanted to go to Brent Venables. Guy's a disaster. Starts a kid who's clearly not ready, not mobile, instead of the young mobile quarterback. And then puts the mobile quarterback in a 49-0 game at the end. Guy's a moron. Absolute disaster. One of the worst coaches that I've ever seen in the history of the Big 12. It's Brent Venables. It might be an insult to mention John Blake in the same sentence as him. That's not going to go well. And I actually feel sorry for Oklahoma. I know it's good for Texas, and this is a Longhorns podcast, but I feel sorry for Oklahoma that they are so blinded by being hurt that Lincoln Riley left them that they decided that they were going to hire Brent Venables. And on, you know, with hindsight, you look back, when Bob Stoops came in and saved the day after Lincoln Riley left and he coached him in the bowl game and rallied the troops, maybe that wasn't as great of a thing as we thought for them. Like, it was admirable, but I think they then convinced themselves that, oh, we need a guy who's just Oklahoma. We need someone with those ties, those Bob Stoops ties. And never mind the fact Bob Stoops dismissed Brent Venables when he was his coordinator so he could bring his brother back. We need someone who's like Bob Stoops. We don't need to go get someone new, someone innovative. We need someone that's not like Lincoln Riley, who, by the way, is one of the best coaches in college football. I think we can all agree to that. If you told me that you could trade Steve Sarkisian for Lincoln Riley, I would probably say yes. Matter of fact, I would say yes. It's not to say Sark's not good. I'm damn sure not going to crown him. But yeah, I would say yes. They decided they wanted something different than that, which was a joke. And that's what they're getting right now. They're getting a dopey coach, a bit. A guy who might be able to put a suit on, but he still acts unprofessional along the way. Shows up late for the press conference. Goes up there, talks about water hose and stuff. He's a joke. They're a disaster. And it could get better, but I don't know how much better it's going to get. And he's got all his people at Oklahoma, and shout out to the Sooners. I respect the program. I respect what people do, but he's got all his guys that have ties to the program that are sitting there trying to convince you, oh, we need a culture change, and it takes time to change the culture. This isn't Charlie Strong taking over for Mac Brown after stuff got stale and Texas had lost their edge. Hell, this isn't Steve Sarkisian taking over for Tom Herman, or Tom Herman taking over for Charlie Strong, or Bob Stoops taking over for whoever the hell he took over for. This isn't that. You'd maintained a very high level of success. So to sit there and act like you need a culture change, for what? You need someone that can maintain and do what Lincoln Riley did. You dopes. Give me a damn break with that. And that's why you lose 49-0. Quite honestly, if Texas would have really wanted to be mean, it could have been 70-0. And then you decide to throw the kid in there at the end, the quarterback? Ought to be ashamed of yourself. The way you acted, the way you conducted yourself. Give these kids a damn day off, too, by the way. The hell are you doing? Absolute disaster what's happened in Oklahoma. Pathetic. I was at the game. I sat in the OU section. My girl graduated from OU. I've been a Texas fan my whole life. Pops graduated from UT. He sat in a different section because he got an individual. And I was talking to my pops at halftime just about this. I ain't going to lie. I felt weird with how confident I was before that game. I've walked in that stadium too many times and had an Oklahoma foot in my ass. To where it felt weird walking in there confident. Hell, it even felt weird in 2005 when Vince put it on them. Or even when you felt good about Colt, it felt weird. You never felt fully confident. I felt fully confident and I felt strange. But after watching just the way the quarterback position was being handled and even Venables calling the timeout at the end of the first half, don't know why. Yeah, it was very clear that, you know, Oklahoma's in a really bad spot. This isn't like an every other year type of thing. They're not going to outcoach too many people with that guy, with that bit, with that meathead, washed up, hardo mentality, and that lack of feel in a game. Dabo Sweeney's not walking through the door. You know, he's not going to give you Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and all the talent that they had on defense. It's not going to happen. Especially when you go to the SEC, you're going to have to do better. If you don't, then, you know, every year it's going to be an annual laugh at Brent Venables and Texas wins type of thing. That's where you're at. And hopefully Oklahoma people are kind of snapping out of it and realizing it because he sucks. I mean, he's terrible. And this isn't hindsight. This was a goofy hire from the beginning. And I understand the hurt. I understand the pain. But you got to move past it. As for the game itself, from the Texas point of view, Ewers, I don't think I've seen a quarterback that calm. It's really kind of remarkable when you think about the fact that this kid has played 3 college football games. Or started 3 college football games, I should say, because he got in a little bit at Ohio State last year. It's really kind of crazy. It almost feels like he's too calm in the pocket, but he's not. It's perfect. And there were a couple times where he completed a pass. Like one time he completed a 21-yard pass, and he probably could have thrown it better to where it would have been a touchdown. And you could just see him shaking his head and kind of, you know, snapping the finger, kind of like, oh, damn. Kid gets it. He's a stud. And Arch Manning knows that. That's another thing that I found funny is I saw some people saying, well, what is Arch going to do? Is Arch going to transfer? Is Arch going to go in the transfer portal? I mean, I would hope, and I think we all know that Arch is going to come in redshirt, or at least we think. Like, I feel like the Manning family does their research. And if the Manning family is watching Quinn Ewers do what he's doing right now, and the Manning family is surprised that the number one recruit in the nation who graduated high school early to go play at Ohio State and make seven figures, if they're surprised that this guy is good and he might be able to hold down the starting position for a couple of years, then they might not be as smart as we thought they were. So I think Arch Manning at least factored in the fact that this guy might be good. And I don't think Texas has to worry about Arch Manning coming in. And I think redshirting in college at this point actually makes sense. Because what's the real hurry? Like in the past, what was the hurry to get to the NFL? Money? How much money do you think Arch Manning is going to make in NIL? Development, probably want to be the best you can be. Redshirting, learning the system, getting to know your guys. It's probably a pretty good life for Arch Manning. So I don't think Texas has anything to worry about there. And man, they got some studs on offense. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. This is the most depth top to bottom at running back that they've ever had. We can go back to the 90s and we can talk about Ricky Williams, Sean Mitchell, and Priest Holmes. That was a good backfield. Although Priest wasn't quite, you know, what he ended up being in the NFL. Nobody saw that coming. That's why he was undrafted. Did see a few touchdowns in the Big 12 championship game. Had a nose for the end zone. But as far as just overall depth, I mean, you're looking at five backs that could maybe start at most schools. Or at least get in the rotation, get a lot of touches. I mean, these running backs are studs. Sanders is an absolute stud. He's got NFL vibes. Worthy, we know about that. Offensive line, they're blocking really well. Defense, playing a lot better. I do think there's kind of some holes, some things that maybe kind of concern me about the defense once the competition increases. But Oklahoma wasn't going to make you pay for that. West Virginia was unable to. I don't think Iowa State's going to. So maybe it'll be Oklahoma State, TCU, Kansas State, that stretch where we get like a real measurement of where exactly they're at, which I can't wait for. And I'm looking past Iowa State. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm looking past Iowa State. I'm looking at this Oklahoma State game. If you're a Longhorn fan, you need to be rooting for Oklahoma State this weekend against TCU. Because you're going to be talking about a top five squad at that point. Going to Oklahoma State with Ewers, you win that game, you improve to 6-2, coming off beating a top six opponent, and then you're going to have Kansas State and TCU. Those two teams are going to play each other. You can get those two. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but my goal this year, I'm not going to start like two losses. It's tough to even start talking about the direction I was about to work myself into. But if you beat three really quality opponents, including most importantly, a top 10 Oklahoma State team on the road in Stillwater before you face Kansas State and TCU, if you can do that, I mean, do you get into the top 10 with two losses that early? It's possible. It's real possible. And do the voters take into account the fact that your starting quarterback was out? It's really possible. And if Alabama keeps winning, how much better does that look? Especially when anyone who watched the game feels like Ewers, had he not gone down, Texas wins that game. Man, makes the Tech game hurt even worse. But again, I'm just going to say focus. You control your own destiny. get into the Big 12 championship, win a conference championship. That should be the main goal. So go Oklahoma State. And then next week, be looking ahead to a massive game. But I'm absolutely looking ahead of Iowa State. Might be a mistake. Might end up looking stupid. I'll be able to go back and laugh at me if I do. But that's where I'm at. If you came here looking for like a breakdown of what Iowa State is, you've come to the wrong place. I'm drinking Kool-Aid right now. I'm looking ahead to OSU. I know Iowa State's kicker sucks. I know it's like for the first time in 10 years, don't have to see Purdy on the other side. And that's all I really know about Iowa State. Very average team. You should thump them. Maybe not OU thump, because Matt Campbell's actually a good coach. He's not a dope like Brent Venables. But you should thump them. This is going to be the stretch where we learn about Steve Sarkisian. I'm not in on Sarkisian yet. I'm not 100% in. But this next month is going to, it's going to give you a very clear picture of what Steve Sarkisian is. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, TCU. It's three top 20, top 25 teams all in a row. Hopefully with the full strength team. Team's very healthy. There's no excuses. And this is where we learn about Steve Sarkisian. He's not Brent Venables. He's not that pathetic. But what is he? Is he the guy that's going to take you where you want to go? We'll find out. We'll find out very soon. It's going to be a pivotal moment for this program. Very pivotal. And I don't know what time they're going to slot that Oklahoma State game. But man, the later the better. Can't wait for that one. You get by Iowa State and then you got Oklahoma State. Because I think Texas stacks up pretty well against Oklahoma State. TCU worries me. Kansas State kind of worries me. Although I do think there's this team is physical. This Texas team is physical. But what a time to be alive. Anytime you can beat OU, you got to be pleased with it. The future's bright. The present is bright. And the next month is going to tell us all we need to know. It's been the 41 Acres. I'm Landry Locker. Subscribe on Odyssey. Episodes, sometimes they'll be longer, sometimes they'll be shorter. Just got right to the point today. Make or break for Sark the next month. Venables is a joke. Quinn Ewers, really effing good. Arch Manning knows that. If you're a Longhorn fan, you need to be rooting for Oklahoma State this weekend against TCU. Because you're going to be talking about a top five squad at that point. Going to Oklahoma State with Ewers, you win that game. You improved to 6-2, coming off beating a top six opponent. And then you're going to have Kansas State and TCU. Those two teams are going to play each other. You can get those two. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but my goal this year, I'm not going to start like two losses. It's tough to even start talking about the direction I was about to work myself into. But if you beat three really quality opponents, including, most importantly, a top 10 Oklahoma State team on the road in Stillwater before you face Kansas State and TCU, if you can do that, I mean, do you get into the top 10 with two losses that early? It's possible. It's real possible. And do the voters take into account the fact that your starting quarterback was out? It's really possible. And if Alabama keeps winning, how much better does that look? especially when anyone who watched the game feels like Ewers, had he not gone down, Texas wins that game. Man, makes the Tech game hurt even worse. But again, I'm just going to say focus. You control your own destiny. Get into the Big 12 championship. Win a conference championship. That should be the main goal. So go Oklahoma State. And then next week, be looking ahead to a massive game. But I'm absolutely looking ahead of Iowa State. Might be a mistake. Might end up looking stupid. I'll be able to go back and laugh at me if I do. But that's where I'm at. If you came here looking for like a breakdown of what Iowa State is, you've come to the wrong place. I'm drinking Kool-Aid right now. I'm looking ahead to OSU. I know Iowa State's kicker sucks. I know it's like for the first time in 10 years, don't have to see Purdy on the other side. And that's all I really know about Iowa State. Very average team. You should thump them. Maybe not OU thump, because Matt Campbell's actually a good coach. He's not a dope like Brent Venables. But you should thump them. This is going to be the stretch where we learn about Steve Sarkisian. I'm not in on Sarkisian yet. I'm not 100% in. But this next month is going to give you a very clear picture of what Steve Sarkisian is. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, TCU. It's three top 20, top 25 teams. All in a row. Hopefully with the full strength team. Team's very healthy. There's no excuses. And this is where we learn about Steve Sarkisian. He's not Brent Venables. He's not that pathetic. But what is he? Is he the guy that's going to take you where you want to go? We'll find out. We'll find out very soon. It's going to be a pivotal moment for this program. Very pivotal. And I don't know what time they're going to slot that Oklahoma State game. But man, the later the better. Can't wait for that one. You get by Iowa State and then you got Oklahoma State. Because I think Texas stacks up pretty well against Oklahoma State. TCU worries me. Kansas State kind of worries me. Although I do think there's this team is physical. This Texas team is physical. But what a time to be alive. Anytime you can beat OU, you got to be pleased with it. The future's bright. The present is bright. And the next month is going to tell us all we need to know. It's been the 41 Acres. I'm Landry Locker. Subscribe on Odyssey. Episodes, sometimes they'll be longer, sometimes they'll be shorter. Just got right to the point today. Make or break for Sark the next month. Venables is a joke. Quinn Ewers, really effing good. Arch Manning knows that. The talent's nice. It's a good time to root for the burnt orange.